Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, I want to welcome you to the show this morning. I think it's incredibly important we talk about the journey that changed the world, and by the world, I mean mine. There's an old saying that I learned a couple years ago that says that if you can save one person, it is though you have saved the world, because you've saved their world. And I know that might sound cliche, might even sound silly to you, if you're a cynical individual such as myself. But the reason I think it's important is when I talk about the trip that I've been on the last couple weeks through Croatia, Bosnia, and I'm in Ireland right now on my way back to the States, I thought it'd be important to share with you, the loyal audience of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast and the great members of the community, to discuss with you the takeaways of this journey, that I've given you bits and pieces along the way in an attempt to share some knowledge with you that I wish I had my entire life, frankly. And one of the things I would encourage you before we even start to talk about this is you need to travel. You need to see the world. You need to understand that whether it's your town, your state, even your country, there's so much more to the world than what you've seen. I don't care if you live in a multicultural city like New York City, or Chicago, or Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas, San Francisco, California. I don't care where you are. There's more to be seen. And I'll tell you something right now. When I'm in Ireland, I have seen more rainbow flags per capita than anywhere else in the world. And I live near San Francisco for most of my life. That should tell you something. But again, I contrast that with Bosnia. I did not see a single rainbow flag in Bosnia. And Bosnia is a predominantly Muslim country. Even during the so-called Pride Month, I didn't see a single one. And you look and you see the stark difference. Even though they're both considered part of Europe, they're vastly different. And so that's why I want to talk about lessons from the Balkans today, because the Balkans, before I went there, I'd heard about Franz Ferdinand getting assassinated starting World War I. I knew a little bit about the history and the politics and whatnot, but I had no idea how deeply rooted the conflict and the hatred is in that area of the world. I had no idea how much a religion or religious orientation can so deeply change people that are neighbors. And, you know, I will remember one especially important meeting. And I'll tell you guys a story. One of my most important lessons that I wonder what you'll think about it, because I had never heard it explained like this before. So we went to Bosnia, to Mostar. It's actually an old Muslim kind of feel to it, because it was actually the bridge there that was unfortunately destroyed in the 90s had stood there for hundreds of years. It was actually financed by a guy that you might have heard of, Suleiman the Magnificent. Ring a bell to anybody? Ottoman Sultan. Playable character in Age of Empires 3. You know, a lot of strategy games that have certain civilizations will have certain important figures to represent that civilization. Well, Suleiman the Magnificent was one of the most important sultans of the Ottoman Empire, and he helped finance this bridge that I actually walked across multiple times. Now, I highlight the war in the 90s because that town, Bosnia in general, Bosnia, Serbia, and Croatia, they have a very complicated history, and a lot of it is based off of religion. Bosnia is very predominantly Muslim. Croatia is predominantly Catholic, and then the Serbs in Serbia are predominantly Orthodox. And you might think, oh, that's not a big difference, because, you know, in America, we're pretty used to being surrounded by religion. Now, arguably, since 9/11, there's been a heightened sensitivity to Muslims because of the rise of Islam, and the rise of radical Islam and its influence around the world. But when you look at those three countries, Serbia, Bosnia, and Croatia, they have a history that spans hundreds of years of war, raiding, conflict, racism, everything you could possibly imagine. And the war in the 90s was a huge catalyst that brought neighbor against neighbor over the most trivial things, ethnicity, religion, things that would be almost inconsequential to the average American. And I highlight this not to show that America is inherently superior, which, I mean, arguably, of course, it is, but that's not the point. The point is the underlying human challenges will always remain. We like to think that we're immune to things because we live with a smartphone in a developed country. We like to think we're different than everybody else. We like to think that, you know what? I don't have to worry about all this. These historical events, yeah, you know, they're kind of important, I guess. You know, I don't think it's all that important to me. It doesn't affect me directly, so it's not important. It's not a warning of any kind, you know. It's so important when you look at the gender debate, the cultural differences, the war that happened in the 90s, right before I was born. These are, and some of you who are older who listen to the show, maybe you lived during that time and you heard about the violence, the genocide, all this stuff that was happening. To me, it's shaping my life as a younger guy. I feel old, but people keep reminding me that I'm a younger guy. That the historical scars are still left in places like that. As a guy who was served in the military, I never actually saw combat. But when I go to places like Dubrovnik, or I go to places like Mostar, I go to places like Sarajevo, I see the effects of war, the shrapnel in people's bodies. I see the effects that war has on people. And that's not a new thing per se. It was just a different perspective that I had not yet seen. And so, my friends, these are just a couple of the lessons I pulled away from this. And I know this is not what we normally talk about. Normally, we talk more about relationships. Normally, we talk more about politics. And you know what? Trust me, there will be a lot of that to come. But I wanted to tie this all together. Because a lot of people, they don't really travel much. And even if you read about it, reading about it's great. Reading is wonderful. It gives you a perspective that you could not give yourself. But it's different to walk down these streets, talk to these people, get a view that you cannot replicate through your own mind's eye, which is what you would do through a book. And another aspect that I wanted to share with you gentlemen is I met this older guy who was a kid when the war was going on. By older, I mean he was about in his 40s, 45, I think, something like that. By my standards, a little bit older. He wasn't old, but you get what I'm talking about, right? Golly. But anyways, he's a coffee shop owner. He loves coffee. Coffee is his passion. And when I asked him, why is coffee your passion? He stopped me and he said, Austin, I want to tell you something. It's not the coffee that's my passion per se. Coffee is great. But what I love is sitting with my cup of coffee and just meditating with it. Not grabbing it so I can run to my job. Not grabbing it so I can run to the grocery store. Not grabbing it so I can go somewhere, go from nowhere to somewhere less important. No. He says, I get it so I can sit there, I can make my coffee with very precise movements, I then can sit there on the porch of my restaurant, and I can get to know the people who also like coffee. I can understand them, we can have a conversation. I can get to know an experience that I myself do not know or do not understand. And it was so powerful. But he said, that's my me time every day. He told me, I don't drink like 4 cups like a lot of Americans do. Now keep in mind, this guy is a Bosnian. He comes from Muslim heritage. He told me he's not a Muslim, but he has Muslim ancestry. And he's growing up in a predominantly Muslim country. And he's sitting there, he's talking to me, and he's saying, look, I am my own guy. I do my own thing. But coffee is my me time every day, every morning. And he talks about it like it's this ritual, that like taking your vitamins or going and having like what Marcus Aurelius might be talking about when in Stoicism and having that time to meditate. And a lot, you look at Americans, you look at Brits, you look at a lot of people in the West, and what we do is we just grab coffee as a way to pick me up, get me through the rest of my day. It's not a slow, almost meditative process for most people. And for me, it was so powerful. It was a lesson that I learned from this man. Just like how people might smoke a cigar and have a conversation, he uses coffee to do that. And for me, that was so powerful. I never thought about that before. And he said, it brought neighbors together. It helped to bridge a gap between people who were different than him. And I thought that was so powerful. If little things, you might think, oh, we need to hold some giant peace summit. Well, we're just guys. We're just other men. Average Joes going around our day. And to bond over something as simple as coffee or a cigar or even a drink is powerful to me. And you might say, Austin, I already know this. This is nothing new. Well, to me, this was something extremely powerful. It was a part of the journey that changed my life. And my friends, I think if as a society, we focused more on things that brought us together, because trust me, the differences are always going to be there. Differences are always going to be present. But if I can study a region like Bosnia and the Balkans and Croatia and Serbia, and they're all inherently neighbors. It's very easy for us to isolate ourselves from our neighbors, whether it's due to scars left by others, whether it's by preconceived notions, economic problems, politics, gender differences. My friends, we need to be able to live with our neighbors. That's why I'll tell you, when I was in my rage phase of the red pill, I had such a hard time talking with people because I was so angry. But now I can easily have a conversation with people, even though I can hear what they're actually saying, not what they're telling me, because that's when you know you've reached the next level, is when you can hear the normies kind of give you the chicken bock of classic garbage that you hear from everybody, but you don't get there, you're not mad. You understand why they're doing it. You understand that they're talking in code, but you got the cipher. You can understand what they're saying. And you just keep it to yourself. You don't get mad. You don't try to translate it to them. No. No, you just sit there and you listen and you glean what you can. This is how you learn and how you grow as a man. And you can build your own future by using what others give you to create and enhance what you already possess. I hope this doesn't come across as too preachy, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that I'm this wise sage now and you have to listen to me. No. No, I'm just trying to, I hope that you can gain something and we can bond over an experience that I wish you were along to share with me, frankly. But my friends, the future of America, the future of the West, the future of your existence is important to me. And so I hope that you learn something from this brief little talk about some of the darkest times of the Balkans that I learned about, and the little nuggets of wisdom that were taken away that I wish you were there to experience, because it would have changed your life as well. But, my friends, I do have a couple things I want to say before I wrap the show up. Number one, I'll be traveling, so I might not be able to print out a show tomorrow, but I will try my best. Number two, I have great, per multiple people's requests on the channel and my own desire to step up my game, I've blown my entire budget out of the window of money that I've been saving up doing my side hustling gigs, and we're going to totally upgrade the entire podcasting hardware. I got the whole thing. I'm in the mail in my old home setup. We're going to make it 100% better. We're going to step up the game, because I'm sick and tired of the sound being not good enough. I want this show to be a community. I want all of you to be a part of it. And some of you are already a part of it, despite the fact that we're still very early on. But my friends, I wanted to say that I appreciate you. I appreciate your continued support. All of you are a blessing. And I don't take you for granted at all. Not for one second do I take you for granted. So anyways, I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm trying to tell you how I actually feel, which I don't normally do. I don't normally talk about my feelings because, number one, who cares? But number two, I just wanted to be honest with you. So I hope you'll enjoy it and you'll see it in the next coming days. But my friends, you take care of yourselves. I appreciate you. Think for yourself. Let me know what you think about the little lessons. And if you want to hear more about it, I have multiple more stories to tell. But this show would be an hour long if I did that. So just let me know what you think. If you want an hour show, I can do an hour show. But my friends, you take care of yourselves. Let me know what you think. Anything you wanted to add, subtract, you let me know. I'm out. Peace.